The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We continue our study, biblical worldview. Today we look at the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 is where we'll begin reading. And we'll read through verse 26. I'm so thankful that God has given us the privilege to meet here today. It is good to be among God's people and to worship and to share the Word of God. And I just praise the Lord for that privilege. Let's stand as we look into God's Word. Verse 12 says, "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they are all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again to the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we bow before You today and ask for Your blessings as we examine Your Word. Open our minds and our hearts. Give us understanding, Lord. Speak to us. And provide, Lord, what's needed in every individual heart here today, as well as in this entire body. Glorify Your name, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to do something for me today. From the very beginning, I want to challenge you to forget all you know about church. How many of you have been in church over 5 years? Raise your hand. Maybe not this church. How many have been in church over 10 years? Raise your hand. 20 years. 30 years. All your life. So you know a lot about church, right? Well, today I want to ask you, let's approach this scripture as though we know nothing about church, right? And approach this message without any preconceived ideas of the way church is supposed to be. I found that if I can do that when I read the Word of God and get into the Bible, it can be very enlightening. But that is very hard to do, to be honest with you. And as you sit here this morning, I want you to sit here from the perspective of, I have no idea what church is about. And I want you to ask yourself, why be a part of church? Why should I join a church? Why do people work in church? I can't imagine, or I can't even begin to estimate the amount of volunteer hours that are put in each year at Victory. It's a lot. But why? Why? Why do people work so much? We work so much and we're part of a church because the church is the body of Christ, meaning we are the hands and the feet of Christ. We are here on this earth to carry out the will of Jesus Christ, to make disciples, according to Matthew chapter 28. That's our point. And so, since we're the body of Christ, there are certain things you have to know about the body of Christ. Number one is that members of the body are united. We must be united. First thing I want you to get, right? Members of the body are of no value apart from the body. I want you to chew on that just a minute. We're compared to the body of Christ. We're the hands, we're the feet, we're the eyes, we're the ears, we're the nose. However you want to look at it, we are the parts as individuals of the body of Christ. A part of the body is of no value apart from the body. Okay? And the reason I say that is because so many today say, well, you know, you don't have to go to church. You don't have to go to church to be saved. You don't have to go to church, period, to please God. Your theology is messed up, if that's your theology. Okay? The reason I say that is everywhere in the Bible, Jesus speaks positively about His church. Unto God be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. It didn't say through a hand to God be glory, or through a foot God be glory. It says through the church, the body of Christ. You see, the hand is not a hand until it's connected to the body. Did you get that? A hand is not a hand until it's connected to the body. Well, what is it, Brother Doug? It's just a chunk of flesh and bone and blood. It's of no value. It cannot function. It cannot follow the direction of a head when it has no head. A hand is of no value until you put it on a body. Oh, but when you put it on a body, life gets really good, doesn't it? I'm so thankful. I can use my hands to pick up things. I can use my hands to move things. I can use my hands to scratch an itch. Can you imagine not having hands? How would you scratch the itch? Hands are wonderful when they're connected to the body. Never say that the church is not needed, because not only is it needed, it is vital to you as a part of the body, and it is vital to the world to carry out the will of Jesus Christ upon this earth. It is vital. And the Holy Spirit has united us, or baptized us, as it put in the text, into this one body. We are all the same, only different. Individually, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit as believers of Jesus Christ. The day we asked Christ to be our Savior, made Him our Lord, we became the house or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit immersed us into the Lord's New Testament church. This is the point of unity in the church. You realize we're not united because we all agree, right? You go around anybody, you pick anybody in this congregation, me or anybody else, you will not agree with them on everything. There has to be one central theme that unites us, and that's the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ that is living within us. And if you ever see that the unity in a church is compromised, it's because we're quenching the Spirit and being led by another spirit. You know, have you ever been led by a spirit of pride? Have you ever thought, well, they're not going to treat me that way? What's speaking pride? Look at the way they treated Jesus, right? Have you ever been led by a spirit of anger? I'm going to get them back. Spirit of anger. That's not the Spirit of God. Spirit of uncleanness leads to lust. And yes, yeah, funny, I've actually heard people say, who were married, say, I think God put this other person in my life and wants me to divorce my wife so that I can go live with this other person. You're a nut. No. Why? Because that goes against everything in the Bible. Maybe I shouldn't say you're a nut. I said it with love. How's that? The point is, if we're not led by the Spirit, we cannot receive messages from the head, which is Jesus Christ, and we cannot follow Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Doug, how do I know if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit? I'm glad you asked. The Holy Spirit, if it's leading you, will always produce fruit of the Spirit. Okay? It will always produce fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Is that what's coming out of you? Love? If it's not coming out of you, you probably should back up and say, whoa, maybe I need to rethink where I am. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Are you patient? Is that coming out of you? If you're not, you better back up and see what Spirit is guiding you. Fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You see, that's the difference between a healthy church and a non-healthy church. A healthy church may not agree on everything. I mean, let's face it, we can't all agree on everything. Not all of you are Razorback fans. You can be wrong if you want to, right? Just being silly. But I want to tell you what we do all agree on, that Jesus Christ is Lord and He is the head of the church, and we are here to 100% follow Him, period, into conversation. That's what pulls us together, right? That's what pulls us together. Members of the body are not only united, members of the body are different. Though we're all united, as individuals, we're very different. And listen, everybody here, get this. You are blessed with a unique gift from God to function in the body of Christ. You are blessed. Oh, no, Brother Doug. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We're not all the same. But everybody here is needed. Your gift, you may be a prayer warrior. You may be an encourager. You may be a singer. Whatever your gift is, you have been given a gift of God that makes you a little bit different than everybody else. As Paul was saying in the text, what if everyone was the same? Well, I'll give you an example. What if everybody was a music man, a music director? Where would the preaching come from? Or if everybody was preaching, where would the music come from? Or if everybody was a teacher, where would the students be? What he's trying to get the church at Corinth to see, and what we need to see today, is how different, yes, we are very different, but how wonderfully that God has put us together to function as a healthy body in the New Testament church, or as the New Testament church, to carry out the will of Jesus Christ, to disciple the world. When a body functions right, it is a beautiful thing. Have you ever had an unhealthy body where something failed? It's no fun, is it? Oh, but when that body's working, it's good. So today, the next thing I want you to challenge is, or want to challenge you with, is look around and appreciate and even respect the differences between each individual member. I'm so glad there's nobody on staff like me. They don't want to be, but you know, they're all unique. They're all special and they're all precious and used of God in their own way. But it's not just the church staff, it's the church body. As I look around here today, everybody has their function. Everybody has their calling. Everybody has their gift. Today we back up and we respect and we appreciate that each individual as they function in their ministry. Number three, members of the body have to specialize. Okay? You have gift. Maybe two or three gifts. But you're not the master of all gifts. If you notice in verse 18, I want to read that again to you. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. Do you know people are where they are because God has put them there? I believe that with all my heart. Every person in this church is where they are because God put them in that position. I love it. And isn't it amazing how well it works? When we're used in the function we're designed for. Hands are great when they're used as hands. You know when they're not so great? When they're used as feet. You ever seen anybody? There's a few people talented enough to walk on their hands. I never could. I'd never tried, right? I would just say, why? I've got feet. You see, so at this point, I want to challenge you, what's your gift? Where are you using, you know, what has God gifted you with? For me, it's very easy. You know, I'm a pastor. And I don't know how many times I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm just not important. I'm not a big deal. No, yes, you are. Don't disrespect God by belittling yourself when God puts you in the body. Now, I'm not saying have a haughty, prideful spirit. I'm not saying that. But don't use, you know, we use that as an escape. Well, I just can't do very much. What can you do? Then do it. If all you can do is pray, then pray. Pray with all your heart. If all you can do is give somebody a call and encourage, call them and encourage and do it with all your might. Whatever you do, do with all your heart. You're here for a reason, and the reason is connected to the gift that God has given to you. That's right, you're special. Every individual. You're special enough that God gave His Son to save you. And if you're that special, and He saved you, He gifted you, now use that gift. But here's a caution. Okay? We tend to try to be experts on how members of the body should function in the areas that we're not called. Have you ever looked at people and said, Brother Dale, he needs to, Brother Michael, Brother Kelly, Brother the teacher of that class, wait a minute, is that your place? Is that your gift? You know, in Romans chapter 14, it talks about judging, or actually it says don't do it, don't judge another man's servant. Be careful. You know what we'd love to do? Football season's coming. I'm kind of excited about it. I just be honest, I love to watch football. One of my favorite pastimes seemed to be being an armchair quarterback. You ever heard that phrase, an armchair quarterback? That's somebody who sits in the recliner with his Coca-Cola at his side, maybe some chips and dips and whatever, and he's watching that football game. And as he watches that football game, he watches the quarterback. Or the running back. or the coach. And as the football game progresses, that quarterback drops back and he makes a pass and he throws an interception, and up out of that recliner I come and say, "You idiot! What were you thinking? Could you not see that safety that was there? You threw it right to him. Come on." Or, "Coach, you shouldn't have thrown the ball there. You should have run it." Got a confession to make. Beth's a better armchair quarterback than I am. We jump up and down and throw a little fits. And then tomorrow when I see somebody else, Michael or Brother Greg or some other person I know is a football fan, I'm going to say, "Did you see that terrible play? What was he thinking? I mean, he blew the game. Had it not been for that one play, we'd have won the game." You know the problem with all that? Problem number one, I'm not the coach. I'm not the quarterback. If I were the coach, state of Arkansas would pay me multiple $1 million to stand on the sideline and tell those boys what to do. But they don't do that. Why? Because I'm not a coach. I'm not nearly as good as I think I am at being a football coach. Number two, I'm not a quarterback. Oh, I can sit on the couch and I can see all those different camera angles and talk about what that quarterback should have done. But the reality is, as I sit on that couch, I don't have a 300-pound linebacker chasing me down trying to do me harm. I'm not running for my life. I don't have a clue what that's like. My biggest concern is, let's don't run out of Coke before halftime. You know? See, that's the way sometimes we become when we condemn other ministries that we're not involved in. Very easy to do. And you understand this. Let me make this perfectly clear. I'm not talking about folks who come and share concerns and talk. And that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about folks who will throw a fit, then run around to this group, and do y'all know what they've done? And run around over here to this group. Do y'all know what they didn't do? And do you know what brother and sister? And yeah, no, that's condemnation. That's not helpful, and that's not healthy to the body. And I'll tell you this: before you run around and condemn God's minister, you understand that you're not the one under fire. Hear me? Give me an amen. You're not the one running for your life. You're not the one whom God has called. Now, I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Like I say, people come from me from time to time and they share concerns. And I appreciate that because I learn and that helps me. But I don't appreciate people who are run from one person to the next just trying to stir up stuff. You're trying to hurt the body. This is God's body. And you have no business trying to damage God's body. Amen? You see, we're special. We specialize. God has called you to a ministry, and it's my job to support you. And if I have a concern, I come to you. And I say, "What about this? Or do you think maybe we could do something better or something different?" And we share ideas, and it becomes your responsibility. But I don't have the right to tear you down in front of another church member. That's not acceptable. God has called you to that ministry. He's called me to the ministry here as pastor. He's called Brother Michael to young family or to family pastor, and Josh, teen pastor, and Kelly, our college minister, and Ken, our seniors minister. But they're not the only ones who are called. We have wonderful Sunday school classes whom God has called men to teach and are serving wonderfully as the teacher. You see, we use our talents and our gifts in the area in which God's called us. Don't use our talents and our gifts to judge another man's servant, condemn another man's servant. That's not why we're here. Then finally, members of the body depend on each other. We need one another. We need one another. As the eye of the body needs the hand of the body. Paul went through this thing. He said, you know, would the hand ever tell the eye or the eye the hand, I don't need you? No. Why? Because my hand will not work unless my eye does its job. You see, if you take away my eye, I can't see where to grab. I can't see where to walk. I can't see how to do anything. And so, yes, I need my hand, but I also need my eyes. I also need my hearing. I also need my nose. I need every part. Because without one part, another part will suffer. As a pastor, I cannot devote full-time prayer and study in preparing the Word of God if I do not have people in this church who are using their gift of giving. You see, I can't do what I do if others don't give so that I can make a living and do what I do. And it's not just me that's depending on you. Our teachers. Did you know teachers can't teach without a class of students? It doesn't work. Music directors can't direct music without somebody singing. As a matter of fact, you just take whatever ministry you want, from nursery to security. And that ministry is very valuable, but I promise you this, it depends on other ministries of the church to have a function. And so, let us not ever think, I don't need them. Because we need each individual member and the contribution that they give as they use their gifts. And let's be aware that if I do not use my gift, I just may be preventing someone else from using theirs. So use your gift. We depend on each other to exercise our gift, and we depend on each other for support. If one suffers, Paul said, all suffer. If one is honored, all rejoice. It's funny. If I mash my finger with a hammer, have you ever done that? Didn't you smile and say, "Woo, glory to God"? Probably not. You might have said something else. But if I mash my finger, I'm hammering and I mash my finger and you know what happens? If I mash this finger, this hand just immediately rushes over, and you know what it does? It grabs that finger. Why does that happen? I don't know. It just does. This finger's in trouble. This hand's coming to the rescue. And if this hand can't You know, if that doesn't make it feel better, I'll do a little dance. You ever done a dance because you mashed your finger? What does your feet have to do with your mashed finger? I don't know, but it seems to help because every time I do, I'll do a little dance. Probably the only time you'll ever see this preacher dance, right? And if that doesn't do it, when I get finished dancing, I'll pull it to my chest and just draw it as close to me as I can get. What does that do? I don't know. But somehow it must help because that's what I do. It's like all of my body tries to come to the rescue of this mashed finger. And the reality is they can't unmash the finger. But they can sure be there and comfort and console that finger while it's mashed. I want to tell you one more time. This year, y'all blessed me really, really big. When I had my surgery, y'all come to the rescue in every way imaginable. You fixed food, you called, you prayed, you took a love offering. In every way imaginable, you were there to support. And let me just say thank you very much, but the wonderful thing is I know that doesn't just occur for me. That occurs for any member of Victory who needs support. And I love you and I appreciate you for that because that's what we're supposed to be. It's at this point I say, keep on doing it. You see, we need one another. You look around today and you don't know we can schedule surgeries and we know about those that are coming, but you don't know who around you are fighting spiritual battles. Marriages that are in trouble. Temptations that people face. You see, everybody needs support. And so, you be sure that it's not just physical support that we're ready to give, but it's emotional and spiritual support. Today, I want to challenge you. Stop, take the time, put your arm around somebody and say, how are you doing? You know, and don't just accept, I'm fine. Are you really fine? No, really, are you fine? You know? Because I'm fine is the answer that everybody expects. But the reality is most people are not fine. We've all got some battle or another. So don't hesitate to say, brother, I love you. Is there anything I can pray for you about? You know, tell me about it. Tell me how I can pray for you. How can I assist you? How can I help you? See, that's what the body does. And then they throw something out and you look at them like a deer in the headlight because you know there is nothing you can do about their problem. Oh, but you're wrong. You can pray with them. You can pray for them. You can give them a hug. You can say, you tell them, if there's anything I can do, you let me know what it is. And you can be like that hand who grabs the finger that doesn't change the circumstance, but it's there to provide the comfort. You can be like the feet that dance. It doesn't change the mashed finger, but it provides comfort. That's what we do for one another. And that's one of the joys of being in the family of God. You see, the point to this message today and everything that Paul has given is this. It's to be a healthy church. These are things we need to be a healthy church. And when the church is healthy and functioning and members are doing what God has called them to do and faithfully executing their gift, we become an army. An army ready to fight spiritual battles. I want to close with this one thought. Matthew 16:18, Jesus said, He was speaking to Peter, I also say to you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And, you know, that's Jesus is saying, upon me, upon Jesus, I will build my church. But it's the gates of hell of Hades shall not prevail against it. Do you understand what that's talking about? It's not talking about defense. It's talking, you know, we kind of view that as, well, I'm going to take my stand and there's nothing Satan can do about it. And you're right there. But that is not a defensive scripture. That is an offensive scripture. You see, the gates of a place were meant for defense. And the pictures being painted of hell being on the defensive. Do you realize when Jesus said, I'm going to build my church, a healthy church can shake down the very gates of hell. There's nothing that even Satan himself can stop God's church when it's healthy and functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit as the body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? See, that's what we're supposed to, that's what we want to be. But we've got to be the body of Christ. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You're not part of the body of Christ. You're fighting this war alone. Let me leave you with this thought. Jesus Christ loves you because you're a sinner. The Bible says all of sin comes short of the glory of God. That's you, that's me, that's everybody present today. You need to be saved. You need to give your life to Jesus. You know, it amazes me how upset people seem to get, and they can't seem to understand why life is falling apart. It's going to fall apart when you go down the wrong road. You're going to get stuck in the mud when you try to cross a lake. We keep going down the wrong road, not realizing, hey, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, He is the answer to your eternity. He's the one that can lift you out of your sin, forgive your sin, and make you a new creation in Christ Jesus. Now, I'm not going to suggest that that's going to make life just all roses, because it does not, but it does give you the strength and the power to get through the harsh realities of this world. If you're not saved, I'm going to invite you to come as we have this verse of invitation. Maybe you're here, you were one of those that, I don't really need a church. And yeah, you do. Yes, you do. You need a church to be part of the body of Christ, right? Maybe you need to come. Become a member of this church and to serve Him here at Victory. Whatever your spiritual need is, bottom line is this, okay? Let Jesus have His way. Our Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for this privilege that You've given us this morning to worship and to study Your Word. And Lord, we look and sometimes we get sidetracked and we're quick to judge other ministries and we forget to judge our own. So, Father, I pray, let it begin with me. Help me to judge myself. Evaluate where I am as Your servant. And Father, help me, or help that to make me a better part of Your body. A part that's more encouraging to other ministries. A part that's more supportive to other ministries. A part that's more helpful to other ministries. Father, we are Your body. Do with us as it pleases You for Your honor and for Your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.